Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Kaya Limited Q1 FY24 results conference call hosted by Dolat Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sachin Bobade from Dolat Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Yusuf. On behalf of Dolat Capital, I welcome you all to the Q1 FY24 earnings conference call of Kaya Limited. Hope you all and your family members are staying safe and healthy. From the management side, we have with us Mr. Rajeev Suri, Global Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Rajeev Nair, Chief Executive Officer, Kaya India, and Mr. Saurabh Shah, Chief Financial Officer. Now I hand the floor to the management for their opening remark, and then we would have question and answer session. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. I would like to welcome you to the conference call on the company's behalf. Let me begin the conference call with a short update on quarter one performance of Kaya Limited, which is already in public domain and uploaded on our website, kaya.in. Kaya Limited posted consolidated revenue from operations of INR 105.7 crores for quarter one FY24, a growth of 14% over corresponding quarter. India revenue grew by 17%, and Middle East revenue grew by 11%. Consolidated EBITDA for quarter one FY24 is 12.9 crores as compared to EBITDA loss of 5.6 crores in quarter one FY23. EBITDA in last year includes one-time impact of INR 10.8 crores, primarily due to PF liability and rates and taxes. Consolidated loss after tax and after exceptional items for quarter one FY24 is INR 9.3 crores as compared to loss of 23.5 crores in quarter one FY23. Kaya India posted a revenue from operation of INR 49.7 crores for quarter one FY24, a growth of 17% over corresponding quarter. Kaya India loss after tax and after exceptional items for quarter one FY24 is 4.5 CR as compared to loss of 18.8 CR in quarter one FY23. From a customer experience perspective, both regions showed strong positives with NPS reaching over 82. Service innovations in the quarter contributed to 10% for Kaya India clinic business and 7% for Kaya Middle East business. As a part of our growth strategy, following are the updates. From customer engagement strategy, we have commissioned a marketing automation project to digitize our customer acquisition journey, which includes setting up of automated appointment booking, customized nudges through WhatsApp and web bots. Body segment vertical had a 5x collection growth versus quarter one FY23, showing strong customer acceptance of our new vertical. Nutraceuticals contributed to 23% of our product business for quarter one FY24. Investment in technology in clinics continued through quarter one. Company during the quarter also relocated two clinics, one in Baroda and one in Chennai, to improve customer experience and profitability. The detailed information update is already with you. I now open the session for questions, and my colleagues and I will be glad to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Swechha from ANS Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for giving this opportunity. Sir, I had few questions. One was, like you mentioned that your body business has seen a 5x kind of a growth. So, can you help us understand, you know, this growth is basically driven by, you know, which particular service, you know, because I think we do CoolSculpt there, we do skin tightening, and we do couple of other therapies, you know. So this growth was led by what? And also, a related question about this is, you know, how big is the market size opportunity for us in the body contouring segment, and specifically in the CoolSculpt, you know, if you could help us understand both these things, sir.
So the main reason for the growth driving was BodySculpt, and that has been a new introduction for us, and the momentum has been with that. At the moment, skin tightening and muscle building is being trialed and will further improve the business. The size of the body market segment on an industry-wise basis, the segment in the aesthetic market is 30%, so we have a long way to grow this business, and the potential we believe is that this can continue a high growth trajectory.
Okay. And sir, I think you've mentioned in your presentation, in your nutraceuticals, 50% of revenue was contributed by glutathione, if I'm correct. So if you could, you know, tell us what exactly is this?
So I'll just explain. There are two formats in which we are doing nutraceuticals. One is the powdered collagen category, and then there are capsules, okay? And powdered collagen is basically marine-based collagen powders that you can drink, and we also have vegan option available. In the capsules, we have three variants. One is glutathione capsules, which basically is for clear skin and brightening purposes, okay? And then there is biotin, which is meant for hair, and then there is ceramides, which are also for anti-aging purposes. Out of this, the entire business that we have done for the first quarter, 50% of the business has come from the tablet format of glutathione, which is a very, you know, accepted product for brightening in the industry, I mean, especially in dermatology space.
Okay.
This is the first time we are doing ingestibles in the category. In the past, we would have used all of this in a topical application. This time, we have done it in an ingestible format.
Okay, understood, understood. And so I think you also, I've seen in the presentation that our collection has declined in Middle East. Any reason, like, would you know, help us understand what really led to this marginal decline?
So, the focus in the Middle East was to try to improve profitability, and we had done some price realignments and reduced the amount of discounts we gave in quarter one this year. And primarily, which led to an increase in our net revenue for the quarter. And more importantly, last year, the Middle East EBITDA was 1.4 crore, and that this time has become 3.6 crore. So
right.
Therefore, there is a remarkable improvement in the profitability, even though we had a little bit less footfall.
So just one last question, just some numbers that I'm looking for. Can I reason here?
Sorry?
Can you?
Yeah. Okay. Thanks. So if you could just, you know, give some guidance on the CAPEX and ad spend for, you know, FY24. And do we see any escalation in our people costs in FY24, sir?
So with regard to the marketing spend, it would be around range from 6 to 8% of our NR. And with regard to people cost, I think the trend in Q1, it may increase because there is some vacant position and we'll fill that position. So you'll get streamlined by Q2. And with regard to CapEx, we already spent almost 14 crore in this quarter towards machines and brand refresh. So as and when we feel that opportunity like body contouring video in pilot test, and if it works out better, then we see opportunity to invest further. So as and when the business performance gets improved, we'll like to capitalize on this entity.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. Really appreciate this.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Tushar Raghatate from Kamayakya Wealth Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I just want to understand the operating margins trajectory going forward. Will that be sustainable? Your growth plans going forward, and what are your initiatives to increase the customer count?
We'll start with the increase in the customer count and what are the initiatives. So like we mentioned, we have commissioned a project with the company which is specializing in big data and tech startup in the healthcare industry. We commissioned the project a few weeks ago, and the project is will be completed shortly. And this project is around new customer acquisition, tightening the customer funnels, as well as improving the customer experience in terms of appointments and any friction to get into the company and make appointments, change appointments using web bots, chat bots, etc. And we are also have initiatives around CRM for our Smiles loyalty customers, and as you know, vast majority of our sales come from our own loyalty base. So we are working both on new customer acquisition as well as retention and improving our business with the existing customers. In addition to this, as we launch new verticals like body, you will see that it helps us increase our business with a new category for existing customers, and we are finding that it is also attracting 25% new customers.
So in terms of margin, are they sustainable going forward?
So margin, you know, pretty much, you know, sustainable, it's subjective because, you know, there are some, it's a variable cost and a fixed cost element. So it depends upon the, how the performance happens. The margin percentage on variable front would be pretty much similar, and fixed cost would be aligned.
Fair enough, sir. Sir, as per channel check in Middle East, we could figure out that our products are near to 30% discount to VLC. So why are we putting our product or our service into discount if we are?
Can you repeat last part? And where did you find the 30% you said?
So I'm saying in the Middle East, as per our channel check, we could figure out that our service is near to 30% discount compared to VLCC.
So our pricing in Middle East is aligned to local competition, which is in the Middle East. And we do not believe that our services are at a lower price than VLCC. The benchmark pricing is the same as local competition, including VLCC. And maybe you've seen some marketing that could be a tactical promotion that you may have seen. But for the rest, we do a benchmark pricing every month, and we are very much on track. If you look at our margin structure, it's also on track. So we don't believe that this is any issue for the company. And in any business, we may have had some tactical promotions and which happen, and you will find that even our competition is using the same way of pricing for short periods of time.
Fair enough, sir. So my last question would be, sir, what would be in percentage term, high margin business would be what percentage of our revenue, and what are the guidances you might have, or a target internally you might have in order to increase that going forward?
You need to speak a bit clearer, please, because your voice is breaking as you are speaking.
Sir, I will repeat my question. So I just want to understand the high margin portion of your business. It comprises what percentage of your revenue, and your internal target to increase going forward for next 2 to 3 years might be?
The majority of our business, and in fact the whole company's business, is high margin. Business, we really don't have any category that is a low margin category. The low margin which we may have would be on product on marketplaces, where we share obviously the profitability with the marketplaces and give them a margin. But for the rest, most of our margin is north of 70%, so we really don't feel that there is going to be a decline in that. And there are some categories where there are no consumables and the margins even higher than that.
Fair enough, sir. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Darshil Zaveri from Crown Capital. Please go ahead.
And I hope I'm audible.
Yeah,
yes,
audible.
You are audible. Please go ahead.
Yeah. So, sir, with regards to the growth in revenue, what kind of top-line growth could we expect maybe this year, and a bit on the long-term, which in, you know, maybe we are around 100 CR a quarter. So, you know, is there an aim to, you know, maybe reach 1,000 crore soon, or, you know, some long-term vision in that sense? And my second question is, with regards to margin, I'm sorry, couldn't catch that part. We are saying that margins are sustainable. I'm sorry to ask you a repeated question.
So, see, as a listed company, we don't give guidance on future sales or growth projections. And we are unable to give you that on how our business and what our business might look like in the future. As regards the current performance or what our future profitability would be, unfortunately, as you know, we cannot share that. The question on can our existing margin structure continue into the next 2 or 3 quarters, we believe our growth strategies are in place. However, depending on the market dynamics, our performance will be played out over the next quarter. And other than that, we really can't specify numbers on record.
Okay, sir, but not in terms of numbers maybe then, sir, but even of a qualitative statement of how we are looking at the business maybe from some longer term perspective. And if I may, sir, the question I would like is, at what kind of scale will our, because we said our products are very high margin, so at what kind of maybe, you know, scale of revenue could we have better margins, like that could go above 20% or something like that? And I'm not asking for a guidance per se, but it's just like what kind of fixed cost could be the element of our current business mix, if that could help.
So basically on your questions, you know, for the cost perspective, what you look at Q1 number, which I responded to the previous questions, is except the employee cost, which will get would be higher. The cost what we are looking in the Q1 financial pretty much remains same. The other aspects would change would be only on the capex part. If we involve further capitalization of any machines or anything, that cost may go up. Apart from that, the cost structure currently I can't give a forward looking statement, but the cost pretty much remains in line with what is there in Q1 and Q4 average.
Okay, sir. That helps me. Thank you so much, sir, and all the best.
Thank you. Before we move to the next question, a reminder to the participant, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Ajay Vora from Nuvama Asset Management. Please go ahead. Mr. Ajay, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead. Mr. Ajay, may we please request to unmute your line and go ahead with your question? As there is no response from the current participant, we will move to our next question from the line of Nitya Shah from Kamakhya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. So I would like to know what are the number of subscribers in the Kaya Smiles program as of this quarter versus last year, same quarter? Hello?
Just one moment. Okay, we basically have a total membership of about 28,000 customers who transacted in this quarter. Okay. The overall base is more than 100,000 customers, but the transacted customers in the quarter is about 28,000.
So do you see a growth in the transacting customers, say Q1 FY23 versus Q1 FY24?
That number is pretty much flat over last year in terms of transacted customers, but the ATS value per customer, which is average transaction per customer, has actually grown.
Okay. So, and yeah. I even noticed in the fixed cost part of what you were saying that the employee cost has dropped significantly if you compare it to the last year's quarter. So, in a way, it's a good thing due to which there's been a great improvement in the margins also. So, how is this carried out that the employee cost fell so much year on year?
So, basically, if you look at last year quarter, there was an exceptional cost of provision towards PF liability of 8.8 crore. That's where the delta gap is coming. Otherwise, what I stated previously, the cost, what we look at employee cost, there would be a little bit upside in upcoming quarters. And but the cost would not go drastically up to that level of Q4, Q1 last year.
Sir, and today morning I read that further loans have been given by the promoter, another 37 crores. So I think total the promoter loan has come up to around 150 crores. So I wanted to understand the repayment schedule of this, or does it convert to equity, or what's the plan here?
So the loan what we have, you've seen on the intimation, it's just that we have taken approval. As and when we need, we'll draw down. It's not currently draw down. The second is for repayment, the board is evaluating the option. We are also evaluating the option and may come out including the right issue, and we will come out soon with some outcome.
Understood. Thank you, sir. That's it from my end.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Raj from Archer Partner. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, you are audible. Please go ahead.
So looking at the company, see, for Kaya, the concept is good. But if I look at the sales and PAT and overall thing, your sales has been flat since around 2015-16 times. And you have been in the loss since 2017. So what exactly is the issue with the company? That I'm trying to understand.
Yeah, I think one of the main reasons would be the total growth of customer count within the business. While if you see other metrics like, for example, consumption growth and others in the business have increased, but customer count is something that has been an issue. And one of the areas that we are really focusing and sharp focusing is into increasing the quantum of new customers coming into the business. And that's the reason why the various initiatives that were mentioned earlier. One was on technology, at the same time new verticals being launched to increase the volume of customer in the clinics.
All right. And how much is the approximate growth in these numbers do you expect?
Sorry, are you mentioning customer count?
Customer counts, yes, going forward.
It's difficult for us to give any guidance on it. We have some internal measures, but we won't be able to give you a guidance in terms of growth of customer counts for future.
All right. And looking at FY24, so will it be a good year compared to FY23 overall on the execution side, operational side and everything?
I think if you take quarter one results, and you'll need to draw your own conclusions from that. Because like we mentioned before, we cannot give guidance that may impact our external situation. But look, as any year, you look at the first quarter results and you'll see that there is improvement in most of the metrics. The net revenue is higher, the EBITDA is better. And we are continuing with many initiatives to continue with our growth story.
All right. All the best. Thank you so much. Yeah. Bye.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Next question is from the line of Sunny Agarwal from SBI Cap Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. Thanks for the opportunity. My question pertains to store level metrics. So right now we are operating more than 90 stores. So if you can help us understand how many stores are profitable, how many stores are at break-even level or are on the verge of break-even, how many stores are contributing profitably to the business, and what is our expansion plan on store front? Thank you.
Okay. So if you look at, you know, Kaya India level, there is except one store from the existing clinic, which is on a clinic EBITDA negative. Otherwise, Kaya India overall clinic EBITDA is almost around 26% EBITDA.
Okay.
And we opened four clinics. They are also pretty much at break even. With just 2-3 months in four months in operation. Now, with regard to expansion, we would like this four stores to perform better, and then we'll take a call to take a further steps.
Okay. And usually, what is the capex per store which we incur to open a new clinic?
So you know, the per store capex cost range from 1.25 to 1.5 crore.
Okay. And usually, as per our past experience or the recent experience, the store usually at a clinic level, it gets break-even is achieved in the span of 4 to 6 months, right?
So it depends upon the vicinity and area. At clinic level, if you look at to clinic to come to a gestation period where it makes at the clinic level break-even or EBITDA, we internally assume it's around 9 months, 6 months. But if it's in a good location, it can shoot up easily faster than that.
Okay. And sir, any particular territory or region which is contributing more profitably to our business, and any particular region which is lacking? So would you like to throw some color on that aspect?
Yeah, if you look at the region in India, actually, if you see the south and the east side of business, they are largely profitable because of the fact that your cost of operating these clinics are relatively lower because of rentals. Wherein actually main cities or big cities like, for example, Delhi or Bombay, where we have very good locations and very good clinics, the throughputs are higher in terms of turnover, but EBITDA generated by these clinics are generally lower because of cost of rental.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Understood. Yeah, thank you, sir. All the best. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, a reminder to the participant, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. Participants, to ask a question, you may press star and one. We have our next follow-up question from the line of Swechha from ANS Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Just two more follow-ups. One is with respect to, you know, the region expansion that you just mentioned, you know, the south and east versus the, you know, Mumbai's and Delhi's. You know, in the annual report also, we've mentioned that, you know, we want to go now more in tier two as compared to tier one. So if you could give, you know, some broad guidance as to, you know, what kind of stores we are looking at, you know, to open in tier two cities, say over next 1 or 2 or 3 years, in tier two precisely, you know, which region we plan to go, or, you know, something about it, you know, what is our strategy for tier two basically?
Okay, so if you look at the kind of cities that we have opened, those are the next cities after the main metros. So the expansion that we have done recently is in Lucknow, in Surat, in Electronic City, which is in the suburbs of Bangalore, and in a city like Siliguri. Now, these are up and coming cities of the country and are very strong retail destinations now. And there is definitely more consumption in these cities in the last so many years. And as infrastructure is developing, many such cities are coming through. So since our concentration largely has been in big cities, now we are moving a lot more into tier two cities. And initially the preference is in cities where we already have a clinic so that we can also optimize our marketing expenditure and cost of operations and things like that. So that's the broad picture I can give. We cannot give you any guidance on how many stores in the next 6 months, 8 months at the moment.
Okay. And the second question was, you know, a very broad kind of a question because, you know, a lot of these, especially body contouring kind of cool sculpt or a Botox, like a skin tightening thing that people normally do, you know, there is a very small bit of chance of this going wrong, you know, and there have been cases in the past where the companies have faced, you know, a legal kind of a situation, you know. So how do you think and how do we prepare ourselves? A, do we face that kind of a risk? Because, you know, we are also doing these therapies or treatments, you know. So how do you, you know, think about these legal liabilities that may come up? Because, you know, there is a fair small chance of these treatments going wrong, right?
Yeah. Okay, so of course, medical treatments may come with some risk. But the most important thing that we have is we invest on very high quality doctors. A large part of our pool of doctors across the country are qualified postgraduate dermatologists. And that's the first line that we have, that we are also, you know, using the right resource to deliver these services, including Kaya is quite unique even in the body contouring space, because registered dermatologists are practicing the cool sculpting procedures in the clinic, and it's not left to therapists to handle these kind of services. Certain services like laser and others where, you know, there are certain risks involved of burns and stuff is also monitored by dermatologists in the clinic. So all in all, I think what we're doing is one is making sure the resources are right, and we also have very strong SOPs and lines of checks in the case where there is any adverse event, it can be immediately taken care of by our doctors in the clinic. So I think we have taken care of this, and that is the difference between us and most of the other competition.
Understood. Thank you, sir. It was very helpful.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nitya Shah from Kamayakya Wealth Management. Please go ahead.
Sir, so I wanted to understand, now Middle East has 23 clinics and India has 98 clinics, which has grown from 94. And if I look at the revenue breakup, it's say 46% is India, 54% around about is Middle East. But the asset base which is employed in the Middle East is a lot more than what is employed in India. So it seems that in 98 clinics, the sweating of the assets is much better when it comes to India terms. So in the future, is the focus going to be more on India, or, you know, to possibly even demerge and look at just India as an operation if it's more profitable?
So, Ritya, on that part, it was difficult to answer, but I'd like to correct. It's 74 clinics in India instead of 90. I think your club 74 and together. So maybe
we added them up, yes.
Oh, okay. So probably you're right. The capex cost in Middle East is higher than India. But if you look at Middle East, some location, the throughput is also. So we are not, your point, what you're just asking that question, we have not factored or not considered in our mind. But currently, I would not be able to give any such guidance on that topic.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star and one. Participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining us today, and we appreciate all the questions. All the best. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Dolat Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.